Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Megan Culp, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning, Megan Culp.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Back in
say that cautiously.
Back in action.
Back in action. We missed you last week, so welcome back.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
You had a good week?
I did have a good week.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you have a good week?
I had a good week, but it was a week without Megan, so, you know, what can I say?
That's a sad week.
It is. That's why I'm so excited today that you're back. So,
good.
So welcome back. And welcome to our audience. This is our Solutions from the Street program. The program when we talk about a local challenge in the community and we seek out solutions to that challenge, right?
That's right.
And this week it's an update,
right? It's an update from an opportunity that we talked about long ago.
I think this was one of our first shows.
This was one of our first shows.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes. And it was just a seed of an idea.
Yes.
And it has blossomed.
Really? Sprouted.
Sprouted.
If you will.
Yes.
Grown roots.
Yes.
Yes. All those analogies.
Analogies, that's right.
Exactly. And so, without further ado, we are presenting an update today on the Tibbetts All Abilities Park, which is the new idea for the land that was formerly known as Tibbetts Middle School and the former Farmington High School and that area of land in Farmington, right around Apache Street and Butler Avenue and then that part of town.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Should we introduce our guests?
We should.
Okay.
All right. We have Natalie and Jessica with us today.
Natalie Spruill is here, the Director of Parks, Recreation, Cultural Affairs with the City of Farmington. Good morning. We're glad that you're here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Also, Jessica Lazenby is here, the Treasurer of the Tibbetts All Abilities Park Foundation. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And you both have big smiles on your faces, I know, because this is a really great project and a great topic to talk about. So.
Yeah.
Congratulations to both of you, because it really is a partnership between the foundation and the City of Farmington. You couldn't do it without either one of you, I think, and your organizations. So let's get started by talking a little bit about kind of the project. Jessica, can you get us started on kind of how this all came to fruition? How many months ago has it been now since this was talked about?
I don't know if I can count in months.
Right. Years.
1,000.
Weeks.
Yeah. Just kidding. So I think it's been something that's been in the making for a really long time, especially with bringing more accessible ability components to the parks here in our area. But Marilyn Montoya, our president, our vice president, was working with a child that had visual impairments. And she was like, now open your eyes like you're on a swing. And the parent was like, she's never been on a swing before. So that kind of sparked something in her where she put it out there, like, what can we do with the Tibbetts property? Can we put a park there? Her and then Katie Harper, she's our president, sort of spearheaded it. And we just had this grassroots effort and teamed up with the city. And they were 100% supportive and wanted to make it happen. And then the property was donated to the city, and
that was a school district decision, right? So again, another partner in this project, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful. It seems like the timing was pretty good for at least some of these early discussions, right? The property became available, the idea was there. I mean, this park isn't just something you can plop down anywhere. You have to have room for it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So this is all part of it. And so Natalie Spruill, fill in the blanks from the city's point of view, right? The city certainly well known for its park system already throughout the region, and so I think this is going to be one more jewel in the crown of parks for the city of Farmington.
You know, it absolutely is, Scott. This is an 8-acre parcel, and It will be just a gem. We have no park in our inventory right now. We have 58 park properties within our community that we maintain and manage. And, you know, adding, we actually have a name for the park. It's Boundless Adventures All Abilities Park.
That's right. That is the official name,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, this project has been near and dear to everyone at the city that's had any involvement with it. You know, every time we present it to mayor and council, they're just awestruck. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, just the grassroots effort, the passion that our community has behind this project. But we've also partnered with Planned Collaborative, and they're the design team that has really come on board and become part of our family to really just take this idea, this thought, this community need to the next level. And, you know, we're happy to be a part of it and add it to our inventory. But, you know, there's a lot of things, and Greg Miller, we'll refer to him quite a bit. He's the lead designer on the project, but he has such a passion for, you know, an all abilities park. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, we got the question early on, why do we need one more park? We have 58 wonderful parks. You know, what's the energy behind this one? And an all abilities park, you know, we have accessible parks or, you know, things that meet ADA compliance, but a lot of times that compliance doesn't necessarily equate to equal or easy access.
Right.
You know, an example that we often use are wood chips under the play area. You know, those are accessible, but, you know, for someone in a wheelchair, that may not be the easiest way for them to get around. And so I'm also happy to say that Brookhaven East Park, the one right next to Child Haven, that has a new play structure. And that's a unique project for us because in preparation for the All Abilities Park, you know, there's going to be a lot of things we're maintaining in this park particular that we don't necessarily have a lot of in our inventory. And so Pour and Play was a thing that it's a rubberized material that is easy to access, you know, with any...
Like in a wheelchair?
Yep, a wheelchair or walker or whatever. And so
you've added that to this park at Brookhaven East?
We've added that to Brookhaven East so we can kind of get a feel for what that looks like in terms of maintenance and those kinds of things. But nice. We're, again, it's a beautiful project. We're happy to be a part of it and really just provide a unique experience for our community and the region. This will have truly a regional draw once we get...
Right. Well, and it is the only one of its kind in the region, which is another win, I think, too, because we know a lot of folks maybe would come to Farmington to appreciate and take part, you know, and enjoy this park when it's available, not mm-hmm. if, but when. It's now a question of when, not if, which is an exciting update. That's exciting. But I know along with all these exciting plans comes a price tag, right? And is the city council and mayor as excited about the price tag, or are they seeing some of the efforts of the foundation getting excited to know that, you know, community members are stepping forward to help pay for this park?
You know, there has been so much excitement generated with this project, and it is a unique one. And, you know, just to see everyone kind of come to the table and say, we're so committed to this project, we are willing to, you know, donate to the foundation, or, you know, whatever role it is that they play. So it's exciting, and all that's probably a good spot for Jessica to take over and just talk about the foundation and their efforts and the work that they're doing.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So we kind of had to hit the ground running because people don't want to donate to something that may or may not happen. So once it finally was like, the city's on board, we want to go ahead and do this. We had to start our fundraising efforts, and that was the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And we've raised $1.2 million so far. Our goal is $5 million. I mean, of course, we would love to do more because the city will still have to seek funding as well once
sure.
they get to the next phase. And so we're putting on fundraisers. We're seeking out donors all the time. We have a very busy group of people hitting the ground looking for funds for this park to happen for our community, and people really want it to happen. So
that's great.
Yes.
Well, and we know you have an event coming up, so we can talk about that as
yeah.
well, right? Which will also raise funds for this park, correct?
Yes, we have our 2K fun run walk roll on October 14th. It starts at 9:00, but registration, if you haven't registered already, which I highly recommend you do if you want an awesome t-shirt.
Yeah.
to do that before the 29th.
The last week to do that then, right?
Yeah.
The 29th, okay.
We got to get on it, everybody. so it starts at 9:00, and there will be 30-minute waves. and we'll have vendors can have booths there. We can have we'll have a costume contest.
Right.
And there will be we have our title sponsor there is sponsoring activities for kiddos, and that is Presbyterian Medical Services, Roundtree Children's Developmental Services.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Very good. And again, the date is the 14th, October 14th,
yes.
Which will be here before we know it, because this month is just screaming by.
Yes.
Thank you, September.
Yeah.
And it will be held, where does registration start? At the site, right?
Yes, and it will be at the future site of Boundless Adventures Park on that track there that everyone loves so much.
Right.
So that's going to be exciting to for everyone to see what it looks like now, and then we'll have the plans up where people can see what it's going to look like.
Okay.
And I know it's going to be a busy day in our community that day, so I really hope that you guys participate in some fashion. That would be really great for our communities.
You bet. Megan, I haven't let you get a word in edgewise. You've been sitting there trying to say something, and I just keep talking.
I know,
apologize.
I know.
So please
okay.
Go ahead.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So I seem to remember that this park was actually for all ages, and there were things for adults to do as well. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Is that still part of the plan?
Yep.
That is absolutely still part of the plan. I have a plan set with me, and you know, as we go through kind of each section, you know, there's a riparian section where it's really focused on sensory and sound and connecting those kinds of things. But in the large play area, there's a slide that's 25 feet high. So
whoa.
Even me, I'm like, you know, I think I need to do that once in my life, but I'm not sure how many times after that I'm going to do it. But to that point, this park is for all ages, all abilities. And the beauty of it, and really the intentionality behind the design, is that families can go and recreate together. One thing that Greg talks a lot about is graduated challenges. So in each of these sections, you know, like the riparian area, for example, there are sidewalks to navigate the area, but then there's also maybe some rocks or a different surface to navigate to get to the same area. And so that's a real focus on, again, all ages, all abilities, families recreating together. But, you know, you don't want to go and experience the highest level of activity at a facility, because what leaves for the next graduated challenge? What is there to come and look for in the next time that you visit? So it's really the design and the thought and the passion that went behind this project is just incredible. We can go to this park every day for the rest of our lives and still be challenged in one way or another,
mm-hmm.
Whether that's recreating, you know, with your family as they grow up, or, you know, there's just so much behind the project.
So I'm thinking, too, a young child could go to this park as a young child and go back as a high schooler and go back as a college student and go back as a young adult, mm-hmm. and find things to do.
Absolutely.
All those different things, mm-hmm. which is by design. It's built into these designs that we're talking about. And so, Natalie, you were talking about an update just this week that the city council met and discussed the park. Can you let us know kind of where things stand?
Absolutely. So, again, the total project cost is $13 million for the entire 8-acre parcel. And so we have conceptual design for that entire property. Where we are now today, and it is very timely, at Tuesday's council meeting, we brought before council the final proposed documents for construction of kind of the phase one and phase two of the plan. And that's a lot of the activity areas, the playground equipment, different things like that. And they have approved the design and approved us to move to the next step in terms of putting that out to bid for construction. So we're just taking steps, and hopefully, you know, we're just one step closer through the process. So
That's very exciting. That is very exciting. And fingers crossed, right, that the bids come in where you want them to come in, mm-hmm. right, and mm-hmm. things like that. Jessica, that's got to be exciting for you and the rest of the folks on the foundation that are going to see this happen, right?
Yes. I don't know how many times we've all cried. It's just
happy tears, though, right?
Yes, such happy tears. This is more than we could have ever imagined. The effort and research that's gone into this, and just every detail of the park has really been thought about. Like, will this give people sensory input with visual, hearing, tactile, all of that. In every area, they think of that stuff. And it's just going to be amazing. And we couldn't ask for a better design, a better landscape architect, and then the city being so on board. It's just all come together, and going to be fantastic for our community.
Yeah. I think another point just to make in terms of that, you know, they are taking it design-wise, again, to a level. They're communicating with local artists that live here, you know, recreate here, create art here, to really get an artistic side of the project as well. So, you know, that's not often taken into account and, sure, and researched and really thought through. But as Jessica said, you know, every piece and part of this park has really just been designed with serious intentionality. And it's just incredible when we sit back and look at where we were a couple of years ago and how far we've come. It's really just exciting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very much so. And it seems like, as you mentioned, I think a little bit, Natalie, that the city has some ideas for funding. Certainly the city's willing to put its money where its mouth is and look at other grant opportunities and other things maybe to be able to fill in the gaps from fundraising and other things to make this happen maybe sooner than later. Is that kind of where things stand too?
Yeah. So again, where we are, we have $4.2 million for the project. We have $3 million in a regional recreation center quality of life grant. And then we also have some community development block grant funding, about $500,000 there that we are going to utilize to bring the current facility or structure that's on that property, bring those restrooms. That's one thing that, you know, we've really identified through the project is this is going to be a place where people come and spend a lot of time. So we want to make sure we have those facilities there and available and accessible.
Right.
So the CDBG funding will go to do some upgrades to ensure that we've got great access to the restroom and that facility. And we continue to have grant applications out, you know, that we haven't heard of, and we're always kind of looking for the next application that's applicable to the park. So we're very actively seeking funds and through our channels for this project as well.
Right. Any concerns that you won't be able to find the total $13 million to get this done?
You know, where there's a will, there's a way.
In this community, I think that's true.
It's absolutely true. Like I said, we're going to take it one bite at a time and just continue our efforts. You know, if you look in the rearview mirror of how quickly we got to this point, there's no doubt that we'll successfully complete it.
Very good. You mentioned too the site. I just wanted to go over a little bit. There's a building there that you talked about, which has restrooms, and they'll be upgraded as part of this. The track, I know, is a beloved neighborhood landmark for that area of town, and I think I understand that the track's going to remain in much as it is today, with maybe a few little changes.
Yeah, so that's a really great point, Scott. The phases that we have construction documents for, where we're going to start construction, is kind of in the middle section of the property.
But, between the building and the track,
yep,
I guess, right?
Yep, that's absolutely correct. And one thing we did learn very early on in the project and design was, to your point, people love that track. I mean, you can go by there anytime during daylight, any month of the year,
true,
and people are utilizing that track. So when the first phase of construction begins, the track will be accessible. And that's by design, if you will, uh-huh, because we don't want to take that out of service. And you are correct. When we get full construction of the entire park, there will be the open green area, so the field will remain, and we will make some modifications to the trail, but we will have a walking trail with signage that, you know, lets you know how far you've walked and different trails that intersect clear. It does more than just have the track when we get to the final design. You can take a trip around the whole property and do it in multiple different fashions, so.
Got it.
Yep.
That's been taken into account then, is what I'm trying to make that point for the
yep
audience. So they know that, and that's good to know. Megan, what else are you curious about with this project?
Well, so I know we have the October 14th fun run, walk, stroll, roll.
You could stroll.
You could stroll. Any way that you want to get that 2K in. What else can the community do to support this project?
You can spread the word. Let people know that we're looking for donors. If you know of any large donors, ask them. We'll make a presentation to them and let them know about the project and what funds we're looking for. There's going to be, the city's working with the landscape architect on a beautiful installation for donor recognition, so people can get their names in the park. and we would be happy to have them on there. So.
Great.
Very good. Can they reach out to you, what, through the website, through the Facebook page? What's the best way to get in touch with you, Jessica?
The Facebook page, yes, or they can email us at tapnm@gmail.com, and it's TAAPNM@gmail.com.
Got it. And that was kind of the original name that we were talking about, the Tibbetts
yes.
All Abilities Park is what TAAP stands for.
And then
for.
We had a competition, right, to name the park or something. You could submit ideas
yeah.
community-wide.
We did. We
yeah.
had a community survey,
yes.
and part of naming anything in our department, we go through a naming process. So we want to hear what the community has to say, and then we have the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Affairs Commission that we took that before, and part of that process is they created a naming committee with representation on it and made suggestions to mayor and council from the information we received from the community. So it was quite the process, and we love it.
I yeah. love the name.
Yeah.
I do.
I think it's great. I think it's very fitting.
It is very fitting.
For what we're
boundless
what
adventure.
We're talking about. So
yes.
There you go. Very good. Well, wonderful. Well, we're so excited for this update.
Yeah.
Thank you both for coming in to share it with us. Any final thoughts on the park? I know, Natalie, the council just they've approved this final design, and so the bids will be going out 30 days, 60 days? What's your hope?
It's likely 30 days after we get the final documents back. So
okay.
we're just buttoning up a couple of things, but yeah, hopefully this fall, sooner rather than later, we'll get that out on the street.
Okay, very exciting. No date yet for a groundbreaking, though, right? I'm pushing the envelope asking that question.
I cannot point to one date on the calendar that's going to happen. I don't
okay.
want to give that to you, Scott.
Okay. Spring, maybe?
Yeah,
spring,
absolutely.
Spring 2024?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Early 2024 for sure.
I'll take that.
That's great.
All right, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
There you go. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. Jessica, any final thoughts from you?
Just it's happening, and thanks to the community for all you've done for us, and thanks for having us on the show to talk about it.
You're very welcome. And we should mention that you mentioned her name earlier, Marilyn Montoya, who I know was a very important mover early on in this project. And I know she would be here. She's out of town today, which
is
the only reason why I think she's not here, because we couldn't keep her from the studio to talk about this project if she was in town, for sure.
She loves it.
She does. So thank you very much, both of you, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Megan, thank you for being here. Nice that you showed up.
Yes.
Yes. Have I mentioned we missed you last week?
Yeah.
Did you get that from
I did.
Today?
I
okay.
did.
Okay, good.
I got the memo.
Okay, I'm glad.
Yeah.
But there you go. But you have a show tomorrow.
I do have a show tomorrow.
Right? You can't stay away. Now that you're back, you can't stay away.
I cannot
okay.
stay away.
Yeah.
So this show tomorrow is Radio Free Saturday Morning, a eclectic music mix to start your weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
What is it this weekend?
Genres, decades, everything welcome.
Yeah.
It is, the theme this weekend is quitting.
Quitting?
Quitting or not quitting.
What are you trying to tell me?
Trying to quit.
What are you saying?
No, I'm not quitting.
Okay, good.
But,
all
you
right.
know, but it's also, there's a lot of dynamics involved in quitting. Sometimes quitting is a good thing. Sometimes
True.
It's a bad thing. Sometimes you're trying to quit. Sometimes you don't want to quit.
Oh.
Lots of songs out there.
Lots of layers to the show, it sounds
but
like.
There's always, yeah, many layers. It's a multi-layered
Okay.
Saturday morning for you.
Musical journey.
It's a musical journey.
Through the quitting genre
yes.
of music.
Yes.
Who knew? Who knew, everyone?
Yes.
Okay. All
so,
right.
rock, folk.
2 hours of quitting.
Soul. Yep.
Okay.
2 hours.
All right.
9 to 11 a.m.
Tomorrow.
That's right.
There you go. All right. Very good. Excellent. And we want to remind everyone, we won't be here next week. Right? I told you that and you were devastated.
I was devastated because
so
it's usually that's interesting.
It usually is that's interesting. Normally it would be that's interesting, but what's interesting about next week is that we won't be here because we're going to be out at Farmington Lake for the balloon rally, the Four Corners Balloon Rally, doing the mass ascensions at 7 a.m. And you have opted not to join us. I don't understand.
I've opted not to join you.
Yeah. It's just too early.
It's.
I know getting here at 8 is
being at
is
Farmington
something.
Lake at 7 a.m. little too early for me.
Okay. So we'll miss you, but that's where we'll be.
That's why the other show, it starts at 9.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's happening. But normally we would be here on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th Fridays for That's Interesting. So we'll be back on the 3rd Friday in October with That's Interesting. And there you go. Or the 1st Friday.
Yeah, I can't even follow anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
lost.
All right.
The
next
important
Friday,
point is next Friday.
We're off.
You can catch the balloon rally
yes.
by streaming it
on Facebook
so if you,
and YouTube.
If you'd rather be at home, snuggle up, drinking coffee, and
you
see
could.
The ascension.
You could do it thanks
you
to KSG.
You could do it thanks to KSG.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. And we were going to ask Natalie Sproul one more question about volunteering for the balloon rally. And I think from the city standpoint, volunteers are always needed for a big event like this, right? Sure. We'll bring you back. Sorry, go ahead.
They are absolutely Thank always you. Needed. It takes, you know, this is such an incredible event, and the success of this event is just a testament to our community and how much it loves it and supports it. But if you've ever thought about volunteering and you haven't quite taken that step, absolutely go to fourcornersballoonrally.com and you can register to volunteer right there, and we would love to have you.
Okay. And you could be doing things just for out at the lake, of course. You might get on a balloon crew, I suppose, right, and help with that part of it. All these different opportunities, right?
There are multiple opportunities. There's something for everyone. You could potentially be on a balloon crew. We have the balloon glow on Saturday at the Farmington Museum. We need some hands there. We've also got the concert at Ricketts Saturday right. evenings. So, yes, there are many opportunities to assist with this event.
Full weekend worth of stuff. So, wonderful. Thank yeah. you for that plug-in. And then the website is the best place to go to sign up
That's
to be
correct.
A volunteer. Mm-hmm. Okay. fourcornersballoonrally.com for our radio audience who can't see the graphic on the screen, but that's where you should go. So, wonderful. Thank you once again. And, Megan, I think that calls it a show.
Calls it a show.
Right?
Wonderful update.
Okay. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
We will.
And it will be That's Interesting because that'll be the first Friday of October. Because next week is the 5th Friday of September. Whew. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. It's not that hard.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It is for me.
I understand. All right. Glad you're here. Just hang on. Here we go. Just show up every Friday. You'll be fine.
That's the key.
Okay.
Just be here every
That's
Friday.
What I need.
Got it.
All
okay.
right. There you go. But not next week.
But not next week. Got it.
On that note, thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a safe weekend. We'll see you next time on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.